Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hey, y'all. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to the Amazing with Grace podcast. I hope that everyone is safe and sane. I know that as this COVID-19 pandemic continues, we are all trying to just figure out what is going on day to day. So I hope that this episode is uplifting to you and inspiring. Please forgive me for the delay in getting this episode out to you. Unfortunately, I had a death in my own family, the death of my grandfather. And so I've just been trying to help my grandmother with planning things and getting his affairs in order. And so things are not as quickly done as they would be otherwise. And so even though, you know, it was a sad time and very different time, I am grateful for the favor that God has given me and my family in being able to honor him. My grandfather was a Korean War veteran, and so initially we were told that we would not be able to attend his burial at the National Cemetery, but overnight, God moved some things, and although they did not have the normal ceremony that they typically have for veterans upon burial, we were at least able to be there to witness his internment. And so what a blessing that was. And so just please keep me and my family in your prayers. And I will also continue to be praying for you all. If anybody is sick, please shoot me a DM. Or if anybody has lost someone in their families, please shoot me a DM at Dr. Q Perry on IG. And I will continue to be in prayer for you and our nation. Today, I want to continue this topic that is ever present around us, but I want to give us a different spin. I know that there's a lot of news and articles out there to help us to answer some of the questions that we have, to minimize some of the fear that we have. And I know that there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of thoughts that we have. You know, will I get the coronavirus? Will somebody in my family get the coronavirus? Being frustrated because we're having to stay in the house and trying to manage our regular work schedules with the kids and managing the kids' school schedules and things like that. There has definitely been an interruption in our daily schedules, but I think that this has been an incredible time to have a divine interruption and a hard reset. And so today I will be talking about the hidden treasures we can find in COVID-19. And so if you have looked at the title, you'll see that I have made COVID-19 an acronym because I want us to gain some things out of what we're going through and come out on the other side as victorious. Before I go into our topic for today, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share this episode and any other episode that you have found to be personally helpful. The first one is community and compassion. As I was thinking about how our culture functioned before the coronavirus just took over everything, I thought about how divided our culture is. You know, we have rich versus poor, we have brown and black versus white, we have people who are in poor health versus those who are in good health. We have Republican, Democrat, gay, straight, people who have houses versus those who are homeless, people with insurance versus no insurance. We were completely divided. And what I've gained from this, and I hope that we can all find treasure in this aspect, is the coronavirus, as you all notice, has not discriminated. It has not only stayed in underdeveloped countries. It has not only been in the poorest communities. It has not only hit those who are Democrat, those who are black, although there are some disparities, and I do recognize that. But as you see those on TV who are brave enough to share their stories with us, whether they have been impacted personally or someone in their families, it has hit us all. And so what I want us to take from this is a sense of community. And when I think about the division that we've had before this coronavirus hit, it also made me think about our occupations. When I did my dissertation, one of the factors that I looked at was occupational prestige. And the idea is that people judge one another based on your occupation. So if I tell someone I'm a doctor, there is a certain amount of prestige and unfortunately respect that comes with certain jobs. Other occupations that are considered prestigious are attorneys, engineers, those in the military, high-ranking military, that is, nurses, head teachers, and usually by head teachers they're meaning college professors, accountants. And unfortunately, on the lower end of occupational prestige are our secondary school teachers, people who might work as barbers, who work in maintenance in the grocery stores, and janitors. And over time, and you can research this for yourself, over time, the rankings have relatively stayed the same. Now, there are some subtle changes in some jobs based on generation. So, for example, someone who is maybe in our grandmother's generation may not see a job in gaming or gaming design or graphic design as prestigious as someone in my generation or some of the younger generations. But overall, there are certain jobs that tend to fall higher or lower on the spectrum. But one of the treasures we can find in this COVID-19 dilemma is having compassion and a sense of community. And if we look at it, everybody has worked together to achieve the little success that we've had so far. And I think this is a great time for us to not have to have tragedy and loss, to be able to respect one another and have a genuine interest and love for one another. So as we come out of this situation, I hope and pray that we don't automatically assume that because someone works at McDonald's or because someone is a truck driver or because someone is a janitor that their job is less important, because we might assume, oh, they don't make that much, or we might assume that you don't have to have a lot of education to have that job. Anybody can do that job. So it's not about that. It is about us respecting one another and valuing one another, because the reality is we cannot do this without one another. Yes, we need our doctors. Yes, we need our mental health professionals. Yes, we need our nurses. But we also need every one of us. We would not be where we are today without the grocery stores being open, without our farmers, without our assembly line workers, our maintenance guys and women. We would not be where we are without our truck drivers. And so let us find appreciation in one another. All right, so the C is for community and compassion. Now, for the O stands for observe your season. Even though we're all in the same situation, we are not all in the same season. I'm reminded of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. The American Standard Version says, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." These verses give me the indication that even though we're all in the same situation, we are not all in the same season. And this is important, because if you don't know your season, you won't know exactly what to do. You won't know how to steward that season. So I might be in a season of grieving where you might be in a season of laughing and dancing. You know, you might be in a season where you have to reevaluate what's going on in your life and discard some things, where somebody else may be in a season where they need to count their treasures and keep some things. You might be in a season where God is asking you to just keep still before Him, where you might be used to arguing your point and winning arguments and making your points known and making your claims known and verbalizing all your frustration. God might be asking you to use this season to just sit quietly before Him. On the flip side of that, you might be a person who tends to be quiet, who does not speak up very much, who avoids conflict, and God might be calling you in this season to start to speak up and speak the truth in love. So the point I'm making with this one is it's very important that you know your season, and so use this time to ask God to show you your season. The reason why this is important is because the Word of God tells us in Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 9, in the New Living Translation, it says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." What this means is that we have to be fruitful in every season. And so even though this season looks very different than anything we've experienced in our lifetimes, it does not mean that it is a season of drought where we can't be fruitful. We just might have to be fruitful in another way. That is why it's important for you to know your season so that you won't get caught up in what everyone else is selling on the internet and what everyone is saying on TV. You have to know your season so that you can get your harvest. And the reason why that's important is because you don't just want any harvest. You don't just want a harvest. You want your harvest. And that only comes from being obedient to God, specific to your season. All right, so that's O. The next one is V, for values. It is time for us to evaluate our values. We say that we value many things, but the reality is our actions say otherwise. Some common values that people tend to have are things that you might already think about. So like family, balance, fitness, learning and personal development, having respect for others and for ourselves, having gratitude, spirituality, and take the time to identify what your values are. And then you have to ask yourself and ask God, do my actions align with what I say my values are? I'll give you an example. A lot of times people tell me that they value learning and personal development. But then when I ask them, okay, so what do you do to align your behavior with this personal value of learning and development? And then they kind of give me a blank stare when they say things like, well, Dr. Perry, I'm just kind of too busy to learn as much as I want to learn, or I work too much, or I have too many obligations, or I have too many responsibilities to actually engage in personal development. And then what I have to talk to people about who have that as their rationale for why their behavior doesn't align with their value is asking, well, is this something that you truly value? Maybe you do value it, but maybe it's not high on your list like you think it is. And if it is, what can you do to start to do those things that help you find a sense of purpose and meaning under this category of learning and personal development? Some behavioral examples of somebody who values learning and personal development is sacrificing the time and money to invest in books, and not just purchasing the books, but actually taking the time to read and finish the books, listening to different podcasts that are personally enriching for you, attending seminars and conferences, and identifying mentors or evaluating whether the mentor that you do have or mentors that you do have are serving the purpose that you need them to serve, because mentors are not meant to be there throughout your entire lifetime. Sometimes your needs may change, and that's okay. You might also evaluate your friendships. Because if you're the smartest person in your circle, then it's time for you to upgrade your circle and add new people to your circle. Another example that I often run into is, we all have this, and I'm guilty of this one as well, is family. You might say that you really value family. Family is high on your priority list. But then when you look at your behavior, your actions really say otherwise. Some ways that you might align your behavior is, you might spend quality time with them. You might check in more with them. You might actually communicate more with them and invite their feedback to different things that you have going on in your life. You might actually offer your feedback. You might decide that you need to refrain from offering your feedback and listen more. So these are some things that you can do to evaluate your values and then see if your behavior aligns with those values. When you take the time to identify your values and then see if your behavior aligns with those values, that exercise can anchor you when your situation or mood is not optimal. This means that regardless of how I feel, I'm not going to allow my anxiety, I'm not going to allow my depression, anger, irritability to prevent me from engaging in things that I say are important to me. You know, it might seem morbid, but there is a metaphor that we typically use in therapy. Some people call it the tombstone metaphor. Some people call it the obituary one. But in essence, it's asking, when you die, what do you want your obituary or your headstone to say? For example, do I want my headstone to say, here lies Dr. Perry. She was a good person. She worked a lot. She was a Christian, but she was mean to people. She was irritable and she didn't follow through on her word. Now that sounds really harsh, but if that's the reality, that there's a discrepancy between what my values are and what my behavior actually says, that is what people are really going to remember about me. It doesn't matter what I say I value. It's what I do that shows this is what I value. Do I want my obituary or my tombstone to say something else? And so I'll ask you the same thing. What do you want your obituary to say about your values and how your behavior aligned with those values? The I stands for intercede. I know that we are all taking part in this social distancing, and for some of us, based on our temperament, it can feel different. So some of us might be, like myself, introverted. So this has been something that it doesn't feel very different to me, just because I tend to be more on the reserve side. But for others who are more outgoing and who are more extroverted, sometimes these types of situations can cause some angst. And overall, though, I think the social distancing can make us feel as though we can't help other people, make us feel as though we are not able to be there for our loved ones as we normally would. And so use this time to intercede. You may not think that there's anything that you can do, or that interceding is not something that's hands-on, it's not something that's tangible, but interceding on behalf of others is incredibly powerful. And in all honesty, some of us are used to being Superman. Some of us are used to being Superwoman. We swoop in and we save the day, and we end up being over-responsible. And so one good thing that you can find in this time is that you're not able to be as hands-on as you normally would. And so use this time to ask God to show you, where can I pull back? Show you where you can pull back and not be over-responsible. And instead of trying to save things and trying to fix things, asking God to just show you how to intercede on behalf of that other person, to give that person the skills, the wisdom, and insight to do what you have been doing for them. And that also clears up space for you to do some things for yourself that God has been asking you to do. The D stands for declare. We might be tempted to focus on the news and focus on what the doctors are or are not doing, focusing on how the school districts or the teachers are given too many assignments or too little assignments, focusing on what the government is and is not doing, and how much money you're losing and how much time you're wasting. You might be tempted to think about how you need to grind it out when you go back to normal. and thinking that your business is going to go under and that people are going to forget about your brand and all the different things that might be coming up for you. But I encourage you to use this time to replace those thoughts with good things. You want to interrupt those negative thoughts. What is good about having this hard reset? Speak life into yourself. Speak life into your situation. Speak life into your family, your children, your friends, because these negative thoughts impact your mood. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says in the New Living Translation, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the peace of God will be with you." So that's Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 in the New Living Translation. You may not think that making declarations are making a difference because your mind is just racing and your mood is being impacted by those thoughts. But the good thing about declaring God's word over your life, speaking it out loud, is that you are speaking to your spirit. You're feeding your spirit and not your flesh and not your mind and not your will, which is flawed because of our experiences and our sinful nature. And so the goal for declaration is to interrupt those negative thoughts and focus on good things. And the 19 in this acronym is going to come from Psalm chapter 19 from the Passion Translation. Before I read those verses, I want us to keep God first, and let's make sure that we have not allowed ourselves, other people, the authorities, and other things to become our idols. Yes, we are to abide by the law and follow the recommendations, but we are not to rely solely on those things. Nothing and no one that we look to can fix this. We are to return our hearts to God and make sure that our ultimate focus and our ultimate guide is God and His Word, and we will come out of this victoriously. The verses specifically that I want us to look to says, "God's word is perfect in every way, how it revives our souls. His law leads us to truth, and His ways change the simple into wise. His teachings make us joyful and radiate His light. His precepts are so pure. His commands, how they challenge us to keep close to His heart. The revelation light of His word makes my spirit shine radiant. Every one of the Lord's commands is right. Following them brings cheer. Nothing He says ever needs to be changed. The rarest treasures of life are found in His truth. That's why I prize God's word like others prize the finest gold. Nothing brings the soul such sweetness as seeking His living words. For they warn us, His servants, and keep us from following the wicked way, giving a lifetime guarantee, great success to every obedient soul." So that was Psalms 19, verses 7 through 11. May we find treasure in COVID-19. I don't have any questions for today, but I definitely do want us to end in prayer. Father God, thank you just for allowing us to have the opportunity to come into your presence. I know that this is a very confusing time for us. We are all unsure about the nature of COVID-19. But Father God, I pray that we will be able to find hidden treasures in this time of the coronavirus. Father God, I pray for every listener under the sound of my voice, that you would still their minds, quiet their souls, quiet their questions, and help them to tune into you, to be able to observe their season, to be able to intercede for other people, Father God. Help them and help me to have a sense of community, Father God. I pray that you would help us be able to explore our values, Father God, and declare your word over our lives. And we pray that we are able to come out of this not just physically whole, Father God, but spiritually and emotionally whole, so that we can be victorious and fulfill the highest purpose that you have for our lives. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. Well, that is all that I have for today, and I hope that you all continue to stay safe and well. Until next time, be blessed.